Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, how's it going today?
It's going well. I got the, I actually considered, people are probably going to shake their head at me, but this is one of the few times we're recording pullback curtain. It's 4:30 here on Thursday. It's one of the few times I got a big stack of all these press box passes that I never use for the Steeler games.
Oh, nice.
And this is one, of the few times I could go because I wouldn't be missing other games since they're playing Tennessee tonight. And I decided I'd rather just sit home.
Wow.
How about that? Talk about spoiled.
Yeah, right? I think a lot of people would be jealous of that.
If it was like with my buds and we tailgated and swung terrible towels, that would be a blast because I haven't done that in 15 years. But it's going to be sitting in the press box next to dudes I like, eating really good food, controlled weather. It wouldn't be so bad, but I have to put a button up on and khakis. And I'm sitting here in my shorts and going to have a beverage or two and watch a story.
It's a rough life you lead, man.
Brutal.
Matt, we've got a good guest today. I don't know. Maybe great. Maybe good. Maybe not so great. Just adequate. I don't
shabby.
Know. one of my good buddies in the dynasty industry, though, and one of my coworkers over at DLF, we've got Nathan Powell. Nathan also is one of the co-hosts of the Dynasty Tradecast on RotoViz Radio. Nathan, how's it going, man?
How's it going, guys? This is one of my fantasy lifelong dreams, was to come on the podcast, the Dynasty Blueprint, with you guys. Like you guys, we share...
you need to aim higher in life.
Oh, yeah, of course. But we do share an opening band, because we have Ty's band as our opener. So I think we too have like the best openings in the Dynasty industry.
That's right, yeah. Oakstone Ashes, Ty, and those guys do a good job. They did a lot of the intros for the fantasy pods, including ours, including the Tradecast. Yeah, they do an awesome job. Well, guys, it's kind of an interesting point of the season. I think, obviously, at this point, everybody knows what their fantasy teams are as far as contenders or on the outside looking in when it comes to the fantasy playoffs. And depending on your league settings, we're just 2 or 3 weeks away from those playoffs. It's really a tough time, I think, a challenging time for valuing different players across the league, because it's so much team dependent. Even though trade deadlines are coming up in leagues, I think this is maybe the hardest time to get trades done. Some teams are looking to sell those veterans, and it's not always easy to find a buyer. And some of these young players who are producing, everybody wants those, and it's hard to pry them away from their owners. But that's kind of going to be the topic today, and we're going to take a little bit of a different spin on it. You hear a lot about sell high and buy low. We're going to go the opposite way today. We're going to talk about players we would want and we would suggest to buy high, meaning players who have been producing at a high level, gaining dynasty value this season. But we're still on board with buying those players, maybe before it's too late, maybe before they take the leap into the next tier. And then we'll go the opposite direction. Players who have lost value this season, maybe they've been playing poorly, dealing with injury, something like that, but they've lost dynasty value, and we're ready to jump ship before they lose all of that dynasty value. So we'll go through the four positions. We'll try to name one from each category between the three of us. And we'll probably have some repeats. We didn't exchange notes prior to the show, so there were a few who really stood out to me, and maybe that'll be the case. Maybe we have some of the same names. But we'll start with the buy high category, and we'll start with our guest, Nathan. Nathan, who's a quarterback that you would suggest buying high, gaining value this year, but you're still willing to pay that price?
Yeah, so often we talk about the low value of quarterback in one quarterback leagues. But I think it's actually harder to trade a quarterback in a one quarterback league because they don't have value, rather than in a super flex league where they do have value. People are less likely to pry them out of their hands. In my buy high, I think it works for both one QB and super flex, and it's Jared Goff. I'm all about investing in a young quarterback who has shown great improvement in year two and has the weapons that he does in a pretty young offense. So I think that offense, while it's explosive, scoring like 30 points a game right now, I really don't see that really slowing down unless Goff just plays worse, which he's not going to play well enough to score 30 points a game every year, but he's going to be scoring a lot of points over the next few years.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and jump in because Goff was mine as well. I expected some repeats. There were quite a few options, in my opinion, in the quarterback category. We've seen some breakout seasons from some of these young quarterbacks, and maybe Matt has one of those guys in mind. But obviously, I think Wentz, Watson, and Dak Prescott are maybe the first three names, but that someone might think of. But it's because of that I kind of pivoted to Goff as my choice. He's playing well, clearly, but maybe not getting the hype that some of those other players are receiving. I was looking at some numbers and I actually tweeted this earlier today. Nathan, maybe you saw that, and that's why you made this choice. I don't know. Goff has scored more fantasy points in the past two games than he did his entire rookie season, which included 7 games played. So more fantasy points in the past 2 weeks than he scored the entire season last year. Pretty impressive. In our quarterback or in our dynasty ADP over at DLF, Goff is quarterback 16. That still seems like a value to me. So I'm on board with buying Goff. I agree with you, Nathan. Matt, which player were you thinking of?
Yeah, I thought Goff and Wentz were the obvious ones. If I had to pick one, it'd be Wentz because he is my number one dynasty quarterback, and I still think I'm a little ahead of the curve on that. I was offered Matt Ryan and 2 seconds for Wentz yesterday and didn't really even consider it. But another name I wanted to throw out there, though, is Stafford. I think Stafford just keeps getting better and better.
Stafford's an interesting one. I feel like I'm a Stafford supporter. I don't know that he fits this category because I don't really know that he's gained value over the season, though he probably should have the way he's played.
That's what I mean. It seems like he's gradually getting a little better every time you watch him.
Right, both last year and this year. A couple of years ago, it seemed like, and this was maybe even, I don't know, maybe even Calvin Johnson's last year, it seemed like they actually wanted to decrease their pass volume and the amount of attempts that Stafford was throwing each season. And maybe that was the plan, but as bad as their running game has been, they haven't been able to do that. So the volume is still there for Stafford, and he signed that nice new contract. So he's here to stay. He's going to be much cheaper, in my opinion, than the other names we threw out, Watson and Wentz and Agreed. Dak, and probably even cheaper than Goff at this point.
Yeah, I would
agree. Yeah, I 100% agree.
I would agree with that on Stafford. I think that when Stafford had Calvin Johnson, there was always the, oh, when Calvin retires, Stafford's going to be terrible. Oh, when Calvin retires, going to be terrible. And I'm not saying like he's been like, oh, Super Bowl MVP type quarterback, but he's been a solid enough fantasy quarterback to be, you know, a low-end QB1, high-end QB2 in most formats.
Yeah, good point. I'm going to have to look that up. Stafford may – I feel like Stafford has maybe even put up better fantasy numbers on average without Calvin than he did with Calvin. So I'm going to check that one. That's a good good question for the RotoViz screener or RotoViz. I don't know. I'm sure they have something over there for that.
RotoViz, GameSplits app.
That's it. That's what I'll use. Let's go the other direction. We'll stick with quarterbacks. A sell low quarterback, a player who's lost value, and we're just ready to get out before it's too late. Again, we'll start with Nathan.
I will have a bit of a theme with my sellos, at least the first couple, and I'll start with Matt Ryan. I think that, you know, while everyone coming into this offseason was like, okay, the Falcons are going to regress, Matt Ryan is going to regress, he just hasn't played well this season, at least from a fantasy perspective. So I think – I'm not saying that he's a terrible quarterback or anything, but I don't think he returns to that 2016-type production. I think that, you know, if you can get – if you can flip Ryan in a piece to get a Goff or Ryan in a piece to get a Wentz, a Watson, a Dak, pretty much any of the guys we talked about as buy highs – that'd be a move I try to make, because while Matt Ryan will still continue to produce fantasy points, his dynasty value will continue to decrease as time goes on, as Julio Jones gets older. So I think that Ryan is a guy to worry about the bottom falling out.
Yeah, I can see that. It seems like he's just regressed back to what he was before that season a year ago. And I think really the main thing that has changed is our expectations. Like we got a little spoiled with him last season. Even though we, like you mentioned, people pretty much knew that wasn't going to happen again, yet there's still a value loss and still some frustration and complaining about the numbers he's put up. Matt, a quarterback that you would sell low, just get away from.
Yeah, and real quick on Ryan, I think we'll look back at his career and say, really nice career, put up long numbers, had a long career. Maybe he's even a Hall of Famer, but 2016 was definitely his high, you know, was by far his outlier year. This one's interesting because he's playing tonight in my hometown. I'm running away from Roethlisberger, and I've been saying it in Pittsburgh way before a lot of the other people that cover the Steelers. I think he's shot, man. I mean, I think he is his lower body issues. I don't think he likes to extend plays. I don't think he likes to get hit anymore. That if you can get anything, and he might have a really good second half of the season because their schedule's really easy, dump him. Might already be too late.
Yeah, I considered listing Ben as my sell low, but I think it probably is too late. I'm not sure that I'm not sure you could even get a decent third rounder for him at this point. In fact, I think he's probably closer to being a drop in some formats than a trade candidate. But yeah, I agree with you. If you can get something for him, do that. I went with Drew Brees, kind of the same situation as far as a big drop in numbers potentially being close to the end. We've seen reports lately that maybe the Saints are also interested in moving on from him. He's still the quarterback 12 in our dynasty ADP, but his trade value is clearly down. I looked at a couple of recent trades in the Dynasty Trade Finder, also at DLF. I saw one that I really liked, and that this has to be best case scenario, but trading Brees for Aaron Rodgers, who of course is out for the season. But if you can, if you can even add something to Brees, I would gladly do that for Rodgers. I would do that for Luck and obviously for a guy like Watson. But if you can give somebody that immediate production, maybe even as disappointing as it is, that would be a trade to explore. I was looking at Brees' numbers this season. Only one game inside the top 10 fantasy quarterbacks in any week this season. Last year, he had 10 of those. So basically 10 top, I guess, top nine games. This year, he has one. So just kind of shows how far he has dropped. And of course, a lot of that is due to the Saints kind of turning into a run-first team with their two top running backs who are both among the top five or six of fantasy scorers this season.
And Ryan, that might lead us to our running back that we're still buying on.
Oh, it might. It might. You never know. Okay, so that'll do it for our quarterbacks. No big surprises there, but in short, I'm not getting scared off of the price for Goff or really any of those young quarterbacks. If you can get those guys for a reasonable price, go for it and be set for a few years. We will move on to the running back position though. And Matt, you mentioned it. So we'll start with you this time, a buy high running back, somebody who's performing and you're still paying the price.
Yeah. And obviously I was alluding to Kamara. I mean, I really think he's a special talent in a great situation. How long is Ingram for this world? I mean, they could certainly see next year, or certainly the year after, Kamara's a 75% share of that offense as opposed to 50 or whatever. Maybe they do lose Brees, though. That would be somewhat detrimental. The other name that came up to me was Cook. I still think even though Cook went up and maybe he took a little step back after the injury, I'm a big believer.
Yeah, I feel like Cook's actually maintained his value. A lot of times we do talk about buying low on those injured players who are expected to come back at full strength. And it's not happening. Savvy dynasty owners are not giving a discount on Dalvin Cook, but I agree with you. I had Kamara as well. That's probably no surprise. I felt good about my list and maybe I'm giving away too many hints here about the players we'll talk about later, but outside of the quarterbacks, I think both my buy and sell list looks the same now as it would have in the preseason. These are guys that I was guys I was running away from in the preseason as far as my sells, players I was advocating to buy, and I was buying myself on my buy suggestion. So I had to give myself a little pat on the back. Now the quarterbacks, I was not on Goff at all and didn't see this drop off for Brees. So no, can't take any credit there, but the rest of these players kind of the same way I saw them in the preseason. Yeah. Kamara was mine. He's running back 15 in our dynasty ADP, 44 overall. And I think he'll climb even higher than that the next time we do that next month. Nathan, who's your running back? Is it Kamara?
It was Kamara. All right. I mean, there's two things that, this segment will teach all of us, that the three of us, we value a lot of the same players similarly, and we're all ageists. Even if we try and hide it sometimes, just a bunch of ageists here on the Dynasty Blueprint here today. But I will say, unlike Ryan, I was not a fan of Alvin Kamara entering the draft process. Even entering the season, I was like, oh, yes, he went to the Saints, but, you know, plenty of bad running backs that go on the Saints and not produce. So I wasn't, you know, a huge fan coming in. He didn't eclipse 700 rushing yards at all during his college seasons. He was involved in the receiving game, so that maybe that was some reason to, you know, think this would be a good success. So I'm buying high on Kamara because I don't have him anywhere. So it's very frustrating. Not like Ryan, who probably has a million shares.
I've got a pretty good number, luckily. Yeah, Matt, I remember the discussion on our podcast and many other Dynasty podcasts and Twitter and everywhere else was, after the big six, who do you take at seven in rookie drafts? And of course, that was before the injury.
Well, I got that right. I got that right, Ryan. It was Juju Smith-Schuster. So
that would be a good debate as far as Juju versus Kamara. But Matt, I remember you and I both advocating for Kamara at that 1.07 spot. And I guess the only thing we missed there is that maybe he should have gone a little higher. And of course, we both kind of missed on Kareem Hunt. So we'll brush that under the rug and we'll keep moving.
Yeah, but I think our listeners should be happy with us that took Kamara per our advice.
That's,
you know,
that's
we sent him in the right direction. Yeah. You're no doubt about it. Hey, real quick, before we take the next step, a trade just came across my inbox that involved Matt Ryan, and I just wanted to see if you guys think this is pretty decent value. Deshaun Watson and Chris Carson for Matt Ryan and Jordan Howard.
Oh,
like that's where Ryan's at now. Does that seem logical? I mean, Jordan Howard's a pretty nice piece.
I don't think that trade has much to do with Matt Ryan's dynasty value. It's more of someone seeing Jordan Howard not being impressed with what he did, what he's done so far in 2017, and said, I really like what I saw from Watson. So I think that the centerpiece of that deal are Watson and Howard. And the guy who got Ryan was like, all right, I'll do this deal, but I want Ryan too.
So that's where Ryan's fallen.
Yeah.
That he's, you know, he was MVP last year, and now he's kind of a throw-in.
I think players like that become throw-ins the bigger the deal is. So Matt Ryan on his own might be a player that a team would target, and maybe they give up a second rounder or give up a prospect, I don't know, to try to solidify their quarterback position for the rest of the season. But the bigger the trade, guys like that become, yeah, they do become throw-ins. Nathan, are you on the Watson side of that deal?
No. I'm not
either.
I'm not in any leagues with Matt Williamson, unfortunately. I need to fix that this offseason.
No, but are you taking?
I didn't make the deal.
Right. No. Are you taking Watson in that deal?
Oh, I'm taking Watson. No.
Okay.
I'll try and get something better for Howard if I'm dealing Howard there.
Yeah, I think that's where I would be too. All right. What about a sell low running back? A running back who is disappointed, lost some value, and we're ready to move on from. Matt, we'll start with you again on this one.
These guys, their value was so high that I'm afraid for both of them, even though if they only took one little step back, and that's David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. You know, Bell kind of goes hand in hand with Roethlisberger, and I watched Bell against the Colts, and I did not see a great burst. He's on pace to have the second most touches in NFL history this year, and has really had an extreme workload. And what if he does come back to the Steelers without Ben, or he goes to another team? And then Johnson, I look at, he's definitely going to be a Cardinal, but what if they don't have Larry and Palmer and they still have a bad O-line? Like, their situations might not be wonderful next year.
Yeah, I guess Johnson has lost some value with the injury. That's fair to say. Projecting if he will lose more, as you maybe suggest or allude to, or if he can bounce back strong. That's really the question that dynasty owners are facing. And Bell, we know, has some questions of his own as far as even what team he's going to be playing for next season. You're still pretty confident he's going to be a Steeler though, right, Matt?
I am, but if he really wears down at the end of this year or has another injury or, you know, Ben retires and they got to use that money elsewhere, I don't know that I give him a 75% chance of coming back.
Yeah. Okay. Nathan, what about you? Sell low running back.
My solo running back would be Devonta Freeman. I think that pretty much his whole career, people have been saying, oh, he's going to regress eventually. He's going to regress eventually. And this has finally been the year where he isn't putting up quite the numbers. He's now had the concussion. You know, those are the type of things that can recur, and they, you know, decreased dynasty value in greatly. Just ask Jordan Reed. So I think that, you know, if he suffers like another concussion this year, he could be entering like Jordan Reed territory with 3, 4, 5 concussions. So, I mean, he has 2 right now on record that I know of. So I would be trying to deal Devonta Freeman. We talked about this on the trade cast. I'd be trying to deal him for a guy like Melvin Gordon or Christian McCaffrey or something like that, where I get, you know, a similarly tiered running back, just one without the concussion issues and without the issues of the regressing offense.
Would you in turn be targeting Coleman?
I mean, it depends on the price. Coleman is a guy that if you ask one guy, they'll say he's worth an early first. If you ask another, he'll say he's worth an early second. So if I'm talking to the guy that says like late first, early second, I'm fine paying that price. But there are a lot of like Tevin Coleman truthers that'll say, I'm not giving him up for anything less than the 102. So.
And the price just went up on Coleman this week too. So yeah. If you believe in him, he fits in that buy high category just due to the opportunity he's going to see over the next week or two. My sell low would be CJ Procise, just a guy I've never been a believer in, mostly related to his injury history, if nothing else. I think we all would agree he's pretty talented. He's put up some numbers in his limited playing time with the Seahawks that he's actually been healthy. He had a couple nice games last season. I tested the limits of the new 280 characters on Twitter the other day when I listed all of the injuries that he's had in his 2 years as, or less than 2 years even, as a Seahawk. And it was a long list and just so frustrating. I mean, you hate to see that from any player with any player, but it is what it is, and it obviously changes their value. So Procise to me, I mean, he's had basically 2 good games his entire career. He's missed way more than that due to injury. Yet some people still, Nathan, like you said, some people are still truthers out there. I really don't understand it, but if I can find them in my league, I'm selling Procise for a second rounder, something like that maybe.
Yeah, and it's so tough to find, you know, the difference between a guy who has just had bad luck with injuries over his first couple seasons and a guy who's just not going to stay healthy. And Procise looks like that guy now. But, you know, entering this offseason, I was thinking, okay, he just had a couple bad injuries in his rookie season. He'll be okay. He's an explosive young running back. But right now it just seems like, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe that he's going to stay on the field when I see it.
Yeah, and those are the kind of guys I really hope I'm wrong on. I mean, I hope he can stay healthy, string together a full season or more, and just show us how good he can be. But at this point, I can't trust that that's going to happen.
Procise, I actually think, would be their best option. You know, that they don't run the ball well. He's such a good receiver that if they just went spread with 3 receivers and make him as much wide out as running back and don't even try to run the ball conventionally, I think that'd be their best bet. But I don't trust him to stay healthy at all. Actually, I don't trust any Seattle running back to stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's pretty clearly their best bet if everybody's healthy. I just don't know that – I don't know if that's saying very much. Let's look at the wide receiver position. I'm going to start this one. And it's my guy, Juju Smith-Schuster. He is – he is the wide receiver 25 in our ADP. Over the past month, he is the wide receiver 3 in fantasy scoring. And over the past 2 games, he has an equal target share with Antonio Brown. This might be, I don't know, this might be the beginning of something. Matt, what are your thoughts on, I always like to get your take on the Steelers, guys. The whole Juju, Bryant, and now maybe even we can throw Antonio Brown into that.
Yeah, and like I said, it's Thursday at 5 o'clock, so by the time a lot of people listen to this, the Thursday nighter will already happen. But I think AB goes bonkers tonight, and I don't think he's going to decline in any way, shape, or form. But I think it's getting pretty clear that Juju's the number 2. He's certainly the preferred slot guy when they go 3 wide. He's the youngest player in the league. They're really impressed with him. They really like his blocking. I know that doesn't sound like much, but as often as they run the ball, that's important. And he's stretching the field a lot more than I expected. I thought he was more behind toward type, but he's making big plays consistently.
I've seen a couple of different, or I guess been part of a couple different conversations over the past week that really opened my eyes to how other people are valuing Juju Smith-Schuster. Dwayne Brown, another DLF writer who we've had on here before, Matt, he tweeted out his projections for 2018 ADP, and he had Juju as a second rounder in startup ADP. So, like I said, that just kind of showed me that there's plenty of other people on this train too. Now he has that potential. And then I also saw some trade talks where basically the trade was Juju versus the 1.02. And there were people on both sides of that, debate. So that's kind of how he's being valued now. I think a month ago, you probably could have bought him for a first rounder. That has definitely changed now.
I'm selling him at that price. I think that's too high, to be honest with you.
I just don't know. I mean, other than Barkley, obviously, I don't think there's any other rookies in this 2018 class that I would definitely like to have over him. And once we know landing spots and once we see, you know, combine numbers and just more information, more data on these rookies, then yeah, maybe Geis moves ahead of him or Sutton, or maybe we even see a late breakout from one of these other guys. But right now, if we're throwing Juju in the 2018 draft, I'm taking him second ahead of everybody except for Barkley.
Yeah, I would be as well. I would value him around that 102. And partly because at this moment, Juju still has the time to, you know, continue to score like 20-point PPR games. And if he continues to do that, he'll be a lock for that second round in the startup. Whereas with the 102, if Geis falls to like the late first in the NFL draft, or if Sutton or whoever ends up being the wide receiver one falls to the second round, I think that, you know, that there's the possibility for Juju being exponentially more valuable than the 102. People know that draft picks rise as they come closer, but players rise as they continue to score points.
All right, let me jump in there real quick, because the guy I picked for mine, I kind of cheated because I think he's about to go up, and I'm still buying even though I think the arrow's going up, and that's Corey Davis. Do you think there's a conversation between Juju and Davis at this point?
No, I'd still rather have Davis.
I would by far.
It's a conversation for me. Okay. I don't think it's not an easy call in either direction, but I think we could almost call Davis maybe a buy low. I don't think that his value has really dropped too much. That's probably not fair to say.
Right.
But a buy before it's too late. I could see that. If
that's what I feel he is. Yeah. Buy now while you still can. Right.
That was actually a conversation I had on Twitter when he had the touchdown that turned into the fumble through the end zone. I was like, oh, here comes all the people are going to say you lost your opportunity to buy low on Corey Davis. There never really has been a buy low on Corey Davis, because the people who drafted him 101 aren't valuing him any less. If anything, the guys who went 102, 103, and Fournette and McCaffrey may have gained value, but Davis hasn't lost value.
Yeah, that's fair. Nathan, who's your buy high wide receiver?
My buy high wide receiver would be Adam Thielen. I think that this guy has just shown, you know, the abilities of being a star with a very mediocre quarterback in Case Keenum / Sam Bradford. And I'm not saying that Bridgewater comes in and saves the day for Thielen and makes him even better, but I think that this offense has shown that both Diggs and Thielen are going to be producing points. And more than anything, the shoot up of Thielen just dampers my love from Treadwell past. So, you know, that I'm sad about that, but I am buying in on Thielen because he still isn't being valued as like an elite receiver. I'm not saying he's quite that yet, but you know, he's scoring elite type points. So if you can, you know, get those points while they're still coming, I'm willing to pay that price right now.
Would you guys rather Thielen or Diggs?
Diggs.
Diggs.
I would too. But you think it's a conversation now?
Yes. I think it's a conversation.
Well, I think Nathan didn't you guys have the topic last week or earlier this week, Thielen versus Keenan Allen?
Yeah, it was Thielen versus Allen. Eric Bertzlaff and Dan Sanyu and I, all three of us said Keenan, but the vote ended up being like 57% Thielen.
Yeah, so clearly gained value, but I still see trade questions of like Thielen versus an early second. So I don't know if those are actually trades that are happening, but you know,
I can't believe they are.
Right, it at least goes to show that there are some. there's some doubters out there. And Thielen is another guy that Dwayne Brown included in his second round prediction of a startup draft. So again, goes to show how he's gaining some value. We'll move forward here. Matt, who's your buy high wide receiver?
My buy high was Davis. I kind of cheated on that.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. We'll move on here.
Because I think he is growing.
All right. We'll move over to the sell lows. And Nathan, we'll start with you this time. Sell low wide receiver.
My sell low would be Dez Bryant. I think that this is a guy that over the last couple seasons just hasn't gotten the volume that a top echelon wide receiver should. Some of that is because of Zeke. Some of that is because they didn't have Tony Romo injured and things like that. But I just don't see it happening. I don't think that the 12, 14 target games are really going to be happening for Dez that, you know, they should if he was in, like, the New Orleans offense or if he was in the, you know, every player to New England offense. You know, in those offenses, maybe he gets 12, 14 targets in a game. But I don't see that in his range of outcomes in Dallas. And, I'm pretty sure he's going to be a Cowboy for life. So, you know, I'm selling low on Dez. I think that you can still get the name value of maybe you can, you know, sell Dez for Diggs. And, you know, you're getting the younger player there. Or Dez for Keenan Allen in a piece. I think that there are a number of ways to sell Dez based on name value.
Are you taking any first rounder for Dez?
No, I think I'd have to have top four.
Yeah. Okay. Just want to see how desperate we are there.
Would you trade Dez for like Corey Coleman or Fuller or Parker or like Shepard two of those, or somebody like that?
For two of those, but not for one.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's where his value is. Matt, sell low wide receiver. Who you got?
One more note on Dez before I give you that. I could also see Dallas investing pretty heavily in a young pass catcher, either a tight end or receiver, and eating into Dez's time. The two receivers I want nothing to do with whose stock has fallen are Benjamin and especially Moncrief. I just – no thanks.
Moncrief was mine. I've talked about this before and other people obviously have as well, just how touchdown dependent he was. I actually had to look this up and see how it compared to past years. So last year, 41% of Moncrief's fantasy points came from touchdown scoring. That is the third highest percentage ever for players who caught 30 or more passes. So we had some fluky players who caught one or two or just a handful of passes, and a couple of those were touchdowns. For players catching at least 30 passes in a season, that's the third highest mark ever, 41%. One of the guys ahead of him, interestingly enough, was Jerry Rice, I think, in 1987. So we don't want to say that's a total deal breaker for Moncrief, but he's shown that he's clearly not going to be a PPR type scorer where he sees a lot of targets or makes a lot of catches. He just has a couple of touchdowns this year. And of course, playing without Andrew Luck has really affected his value. His ADP is down to wide receiver 40, and I think it falls even further than that. He doesn't have a single game inside the top 25 wide receivers in any week this season.
Ryan, couldn't you just see him being like, you know, free agent to be and sits on the open market for a while and then signs a one-year deal and we don't hear much from him again?
I mean, to me, it's kind of a Michael Floyd situation without the off-field issues. Mm-hmm. Like Michael Floyd, we just had such high hopes for and high expectations. And his situation kind of got fast-forwarded by his off-field issues. But for Moncrief, I think it could just kind of linger. Kind of like Nathan mentioned with Dez, I think Moncrief still has some name value to some folks. Maybe you're not getting a first rounder for him, of course, but I would take any second rounder at this point and just move on, honestly.
I want to take a moment here to tell you guys about our buddies at Harry's. We've mentioned them the last few podcasts. I am a big fan. I used to be an electric razor guy. I have sensitive skin and I shave every day. I never let it really get out of control. And Harry's is fantastic. So I just want to let you guys know about that. And Harry's is so confident that you're going to love their blades as I am. They'll give you their free trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/dynasty. The only thing you have to pay for is shipping, which is very cheap. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price. That is why over 3 million guys, including myself, have switched to Harry's. So here's what you do. You claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. It's $13 value for free. Like I said, all you have to do is cover shipping. And your free trial includes a weighted, really nice razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover. So you get all that stuff basically for free. All you have to do is cover shipping. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/dynasty right now. That's harrys.com/dynasty.
All right, guys, we'll finish up with the tight end position. This, to me, is one that seemed kind of obvious as far as the buy high and sell low. I think we could see some more agreement between the three of us. So we'll let our guest kick off the tight end position. Nathan, who is your buy high tight end?
My buy high, and this was one of the more talked about tight end rookie classes that we've seen in recent memory, and my buy high is the one that has excelled the most, and that's Evan Engram. I think that this guy, you know, it's not exactly a bold take to say guy who's having historic tight end rookie year is a guy you want to buy, but you know, that's the case. You know, he's putting up historic production for a young rookie, and you know, the one like drawback would be, oh, he has Eli who stinks, and he has Eli, and you know, there's no answer for the quarterback position in the future for New York. So, I mean, that would be the one worry. But I think this guy is good enough that whether it's, you know, Geno Smith or just any other random guy, he's going to put up production year to year. So I'd be willing to part with, you know, maybe like a mid-first for Evan Engram right now. And I think that most people would take that, you know, unless they just love Engram as much as I do.
Yeah, I think we could even see Engram going higher than that when it comes to like draft pick trades. He's another guy. I'm not sure I can make a case for any rookie over him, maybe outside of those top two who are probably at this point, probably the running backs. So I could maybe see going as high as 1.3 for Engram, which even though he was a guy I liked through the whole process, it's just crazy how he's produced so quickly and gained value so quickly. He was my choice as well. I kind of hinted there that I expected some agreement on this one, and yeah, just a guy I love. He's tight end 4 in our ADP already. So the question to me is, would you trade a guy like Ertz or Kelsey or even Gronk for Engram as the main piece coming back?
Ertz would be the only one of that list that I would trade straight up for Engram. So, but it's really close with Kelsey though.
Yeah. So Engram is your tight end 3 in dynasty then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt, you said Engram was your guy also.
Yeah, and the only thing I wanted to expand on, and I think we all agree here, is not only – just one more slight concern is not only does Eli stink and there probably isn't a new guy in town, although they have Webb and maybe we see him at the end of the year, but I have no faith in him. But they're going to have a new coach. They're going to have a new system. And Engram is a unique player in mostly a good way, but maybe the new guy doesn't love having a 235-pound tight end.
Yeah, I mean – with the quarterback situation around the league, there's a lot of talk, like what happens when Ben leaves, what happens when Brady leaves, what happens when Rivers or Eli, and it's kind of a punchline at this point, but when Eli and McAdoo leave, which one of those is probably happening just any day now, and maybe any week now with McAdoo, but when those guys leave, I'm just not convinced that's a negative for Engram or for Odell or any of these guys. It's clearly not easy to find a quarterback in the NFL, and Eli has been a very good one for many years, but he's not a very good quarterback right now. So I'm kind of excited to see what happens next with the Giants, and I'm not really worried about how that impacts Engram or Beckham clearly. All right, Nathan, we'll finish up with the sell low tight end, someone you're just ready to move off of.
My sell low, and this will probably be like the first younger guy we've mentioned on the sell low list, and it's Hunter Henry. I think that we throughout his career so far, we've had the excuse, oh, he has Antonio Gates ahead of him. That's why he's not going to produce early on. Oh, it's young tight ends never produce early on. But it's gotten to the point where Gates doesn't really do anything anymore, and that hasn't, you know, catapulted Henry into being some top 5 tight end like many people were hoping. When I think he was drafted as like tight end 5 in like around March, February. So I thought that was a bit, you know, presumptuous of drafters. But I think that, you know, there's obviously somewhere between the two, between like thinking he might be a top 5 tight end to being like the tight end 18. It meets somewhere in the middle. But I do think that if I can get out from under him and pretty much get any second, like you've said oftentimes, just get a second for him and, you know, re-roll the dice next year.
He's been a player that's been so tough for me to evaluate as far as his dynasty value this season. It has been a big time roller coaster dating back to the end of last year. Like you mentioned, he actually hit tight end 4 in our ADP at one point. And then there was an overcorrection. People saw that, and there was some discussion about that on Twitter. I do think there was overcorrection down to nearly outside of the top 10. And even his performances this season have been up and down. We saw him have 2 games in the first month where he didn't even draw a target in the passing game. So, yeah, I mean, I think you can make a case for him being a buy high or a sell low, which is just really crazy. But I think he makes some sense there. Matt, what about your sell low tight end?
Yeah, Henry's one of the few ones we've brought up and that I don't agree with. I just think there's a lot of talent there, and eventually it'll come around. Tight ends take time. To me, you mentioned, Ryan, that you thought a lot of us would have the same for both these. And to me, the obvious one's Jordan Reed, that I'm not touching him with a 10-foot pole. I think he's done. I think he's broke. But two guys whose stock, I mean, Ebron's fell even further. It was never that high. But a year ago, some people liked Rudolph, and I just think he's just a guy. So those are two guys I would also bring up as honorable mentions.
Yeah, Reed was mine. He's still tight end 7, still has some name value. About a month ago, I traded Reed for David Njoku and a 3rd-rounder, which I was pretty happy with. I don't know if you can get that type of trade today after Reed has missed another couple games with injury. But he's the player, he's the tight end that I'd want to be getting away from. I agree with your choices in a way, Matt. But it's Ebron's probably another guy that it's too late on. People just seem to hate Eric Ebron. He's been a disappointment. I wouldn't be surprised to see him dropped in some leagues with smaller rosters either. Rudolph.
Lions fans even hate him.
Yeah, they hate him. Especially. They hate him, yeah. They hate him more than the rest of us. we saw trade rumors with Ebron prior to the draft and rumors that they would take O.J. Howard or one of these tight ends. So that should have been a signal to us kind of even before the season started how the Lions were valuing Ebron. And that's kind of a whole other topic, but taking those hints from what teams tell us, we saw it with Jay Ajayi and maybe even in some ways seeing it now with Jarvis Landry with no extension and reportedly shopped him at the trade deadline as well. So if teams are not valuing their own players that they see every day, maybe that should tell us something. And Ebron's a case of that. Rudolph is another one that I can't figure out. I was pretty much sold on him coming into this season, and his value just really skyrocketed after that nice year last year. I think he was the tight end 2 overall. He's just kind of been an afterthought in that offense as we've seen Thielen explode and Diggs has been very good when he's been on the field. All right, guys, lots of good information. Nathan, thanks for joining us today. Before we wrap up here, just tell all our listeners where they can find your work.
You can find my writing, the Devy Stock Market. Ryan's the great head of the Devy team over at DLF. Devy Stock Market is a piece I produce mostly every week, but sometimes, you know, teaching and life gets the best of me. Devy Stock Market at DLF, Dynasty Tradecast on RotoViz Radio. That's pretty much it for me these days, but thanks for having me on, guys. This is a lot of fun.